Welcome back to the You Heard Podcast. I'm holding it down. Got a special guest right after the intro. My boy Jordan Keynes from About the Fans. The man is a legend. He out here working, grinding, working a day job, working for About the Fans. I've known Jordan for a while through different iterations of a podcast. Always love talking to him, man. It's always a great time. He keeps me sane when I want to go too hard, so it's going to be enjoyable, guys. All right, catch it on the backside.
Welcome to the You Heard Podcast.
I'm hurt, dog.
Ben and Joe break down all things Miami Hurricanes football.
Don't ask me if I'm all right. Hell no.
From hot topics to pre- and post-game analysis.
What he said dominate, and we not doing it.
You heard.
I put my heart in this, dog.
Jordan, man, welcome to the pod, man.
Hey, thanks, Ben. Dude, I am good. It's been too long since we've been able to chop it up, so thank you for having me. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Look, everybody, look, if they're watching this pod, they know who you are. Just remind them what you do and who you are, man, how they can follow you.
Yeah, so, you know, as you said, kind of the main thing I've been doing lately is About the Fans. You know, I'm actually wearing my hat is About the Fans. My T-shirt is, it's a Fours Up design, but it's made by About the Fans. So, You know, like, that's kind of what I've been doing. We've been doing a little bit of media as well. You know, we do a basketball show on YouTube called About the Buckets. Check out About the Fans, aboutthefans.com. Find us on Twitter. That's going well. And then, yeah, people, you know, may know me from Fours Up, or I did Kane Gang for a little bit with Derek Coe. All good stuff, man.
Yeah, man. Look, we've done a couple of different podcasts, a couple of different episodes to different iterations of me constantly just podcasting. So I was like, man, I gotta eventually do an All Canes podcast, and I gotta have my boy Jordan on. Like, we kind of chopped it up a little bit on the previous one about the Canes, but this one's gonna be All Canes the whole show, man.
Cool.
Look, I wanna jump right into it, man. What were your expectations? Because we hadn't talked really, because I know we talked a little bit about like the Lane Mario debate on the old pod. So when we finally signed Mario, going into it, like, tell me what Jordan of December 21 was thinking going into this season.
So a few things, and you know, when I say them at this point, they make a lot more sense than how I felt it, you know, back in 2021, in the sense that, you know, I looked at our schedule and, you know, pretty weak schedule. I looked at how most of the teams in the ACC had significant coaching or quarterback changes, whether it was a coordinator, starting quarterback, head coach. I mean, my brain would probably freeze up, but it was more than half the teams. I mean, Virginia, Duke, Georgia Tech, Pitt, you know, Clemson had a bunch of changes. Like, all these teams had big changes. And so I was thinking, like, somebody has to finish second or first or third. And so I figured, why not us? We got the best coach out of all of them. We have the best quarterback out of all of them in Tyler Van Dyke. So I predicted, well, 8.5 wins. My heart said 9 wins. I wanted to say 10 wins, but my heart said 9 wins.
Of course.
My head said, nah, like, just go, like, you know, you got to hedge that a little bit. So go 8.5 wins. So I'm glad I did that. But then at the same time, one thing I pushed, whether it was on Fours Up during the offseason or on my Twitter, was one of, like, Mario's flaw as a coach has always been Saturday, right? Like, Mario is not a great Saturday coach. He never has been. And that was something that I repeatedly talked about. Like that is his weakness. And we saw it, you know. And whether it's hiring people that weren't good on Saturdays, like, you know, some people would say about Josh Gattis, is one thing, but I don't know. I'm not overly surprised at how this season went, even though I expected better. Like, for us to have a really crappy season and then now be into the thick of recruiting, and now we're starting to kill it. You know, we're starting to do really well, starting to get some big recruits. Like, that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. I think I'm with you on that. I looked at it in a way, and I'm trying to remember what Ben of 21 thought, right? Like, it was like, I was hyped that we got Mari, but I was like, I had those thoughts too. I was like, damn, but Saturdays.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's like that quiet whisper in the back where you're like, yo, Saturdays though, man.
Yep.
And the way he hired his coaches, I was like, even I was like, have these guys ever worked together before? Like, what's the chemistry going to be like? Right. Yeah. I was like, because he hired all of them individually, except like, oh, Jamila Dye is available. And
yeah,
this, and we stole Kevin Steele from Maryland and all this stuff. I was like, okay, how's this going to work? I was like, okay, I mean, we'll see. Like, these are all professionals. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then the season starts, and I was like, ah, shit. Like, from jump, I was like, ah, okay. This is going to be rough.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect, right? Like, fast forwarding into the beginning, what I didn't expect was a lack of response and adjustments from either side of the ball. Like, and not just coordinators, not just coaches, right? It's also the players. And I told Joe about it. I was like, at no point nobody responded. Everybody just goes, ah, oh well, we're gonna clean house anyway. Who cares? Let's move on. I was like, hey, bro, you can't. Like, we're a thirsty, you know what I mean? We're thirsting for winning. You can't just be like, oh, let's just chop up the season and go kill it in recruiting in the offseason.
Right.
I was like, bro, I needed to see some kind of development. And the only development I saw was one player in Cam Kitchens and like LT sparingly. You know what I mean? It was a hard season, man. It was.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. It was embarrassing at times.
For sure. One thing that keeps me grounded though is like a lot of the hype from last season we had a great offseason, right? We stole Dan Radakovich from Clemson. We announced our incredible football facility that's gonna, you know, go on campus. I think it's gonna take up the track and field space and that, you know, near the parking garage by Green Tree. So that's gonna go in. You know, obviously the money that's being pumped into the program, whether it's John Ruiz or getting a piece of UM Health, that's a big deal. But if you think about those things, it's like, what's the immediate benefit of an influx of cash? Like, cash doesn't win you football games. An athletic director doesn't win you football games. A football facility that doesn't even exist yet doesn't win you football games. When you try to think of it in a more rational sense, like, we were building the foundation for a football program. We weren't building the football program yet last season, right? We were laying the footings. Yeah. We were getting everything set for a powerhouse to be built on top of that. But, you know, when you really look at it, like, the coaching staff is one thing, but the rest of the hype from last offseason is not – it wasn't things that immediately translate to a good football.
True. Because it wasn't, I'm with you on like the 8.5 going into the offseason, like what you said. Like, okay, we were 7-5. One more win, maybe squeak out another win, isn't that hard to fathom or believe, especially with the schedule the way it was. Yeah. But I think for a lot of people, and I'm not one of them, right? Like, I didn't overhype my team's talent level. Like, I knew who they were. Like, in the last 20 years, I know who they've been. They're a team, you know what I mean? Like, through different iterations and all this, they're a team that doesn't respond well to adversity for whatever reason, right? Like, that's been carried over from class to class to class to class.
Yep.
It's a theme. So I know that, it's a theme. Like, I think Manny Navarro and Gabby Urrutia from 24/7, like, if you lose one game at the Miami, you're going to lose two.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was never like a one loss, this stops right here, let's respond. And it hasn't happened, right? So when I saw, I was like, man, this team is, even when they were 10-3, right, that great season that they had when started 10-0, they lost one and then got blown out their next three. And that 10-0 was a bounce here, a bounce there, you know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, and that's how it's kind of been. It's like, we miss a field goal here, we make a field goal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's been like, it hasn't been a consistent thing. So I was like, you got to scrap this whole thing. Like, that was my thought going into the season. So I was like, I thought he would have done it last season. And it felt like throughout the season, he just called like basic defenses and basic offenses to see who the players who would just execute that. Who, you know what I mean? Like it was basically every Saturday was just I'm purely game evaluating. I'm purely player evaluation. That's it. And this is these are the guys that'll be here. These are the guys that are gonna leave.
Yeah.
Which for us as fans sucks because it's like so we're just running like this is hard to watch. Like you can't get a yard. You can't beat these lower level teams. Like we're just running the same. It was so hard to watch, man. And it was glad it's over. But dude, this recruiting is. I don't even know how to like react to it. Like I'm trying to like remind myself, hey, but we were 5-7, right? Like we were 5-7. Like it's so crazy.
Yeah, it was hard. Thankfully for me, I actually caught a lot of flack for this on Twitter. But our first two games, I'm trying to think of what teams they were. I know Bethune-Cookman was one of them. And
Southern Mississippi, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Southern Miss? Yes.
I think you're right. Miss. And I came away from those two games being like, oh, we're not a good football team. And, you know, I was kind of public about that. Even though we won, we blew both those teams out. But I was just like, you know, it was way too hard. You know, like we made those games look way too hard for the competition. Like we're not good. Yeah. I even said Florida was better than us at that point. And, you know, people were really upset. And so when we lost to Middle Tennessee State, like I tuned out because I saw it coming. I didn't think we'd lose to Middle Tennessee. I didn't think we were that bad by no means. But when we lost, then it was like, oh, okay. Like I'm turning this, you know, I'm tuning out for this season. I did watch
I watched every game, but it wasn't like as emotionally invested, right? Like, it was just like, okay, I gotta watch because this is my team. But
honestly, by the end of the season, because I didn't care at all. I mean, obviously, I wanted the Canes to win, but I just kind of understood that it didn't really matter, you know, because we were bad. Like, you know, what's the difference between 5-7 and 6-6? I mean, obviously, a bowl game, nothing. But both are trash seasons for Miami, right? So it was actually just kind of nice to watch UM with no expectations. And, you know, I actually became a fan because I love the color orange. I love the logo, the colors, the team. And, you know, it was just cool to, like, I just love seeing the logo, the helmets on TV, man. Like, it was cool to have that.
It's nothing like it.
Yeah, it was cool to have that be my takeaway from the game. Is like, I didn't even care what happened in the game. I didn't care about the score. Yeah. It was just like, man, I love seeing those white helmets with that orange and green on it, dude.
There was nothing. You know what I liked? What I liked, too, towards the end of the season, that he didn't do the alternate uniforms. He just kept them with the, you know what I'm saying, with their standard stuff. It was like, there's no reason for an alternate uniform this season. So let's just wear this and move on. Yeah, it was like I watched every game, and most games were bad losses and late losses and all these different things. I was just like, but there was a part where I was like, I'm looking at it, I was like, I wonder how many of these guys aren't going to be here next year. Right? Like where I stopped, like especially delving more into Twitter and Kane's Twitter especially, and seeing how people look at it and the overreactions to every single play and all that stuff, I was like, dude, like what you got to start looking at it. And what you said was right earlier. It was like, this is the foundation of a football program. Like we can't carry over to the, like, we got to get past the, especially us old heads, right? We got to get past like 2001 isn't happening again.
Yeah.
It takes time to build that. Like you have to get recruiting classes on top of recruiting classes on top of recruiting classes of like-minded kids, right? That have that want to and have that desire. So it takes time to build that.
For sure.
It was like, it was the first time, and hoping that the plan that Mario has, right? Because that's what all we have is like hoping the plan that Mario has comes to fruition. But you're going through that 13 week experience because of the bye week, you know, 7 losses, 5 straight home losses, and you're just like, okay, I'm like, how is recruiting going to be any better?
Yeah.
And then Mario's loafers, bro. Like, Jordan, you're a guy that like follows this deeper than I do, right? Like, I'm getting better at it. Dude, but like, just I'm gonna ask you like the simple how, like, just how?
I don't know.
So, like, I don't. My brain doesn't. I got nothing. Like, I'm talking shit to people on Twitter, and while I'm saying it, I was like, dude, I don't know how we're pulling these guys. Like, I have no idea. I don't know what the message is. I don't nothing.
Yeah, I mean, this is why we paid Mario, though, right? I mean, because out of the gate, we all knew that he had problems on Saturdays. Like, watching Oregon collapse at the end of last season, it probably had something to do with the Miami job being open. That's fine. But, like, even, like, Mario is not an elite coach on Saturday. But he is an elite coach every other day of the week and all off season.
Yes.
He is. He's elite.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find three or four guys better than him when it comes to the off season. And so, I mean, we're getting our money's worth right now, and good, you know, it makes sense when you think about this season in the sense of, like, Mario had to essentially, like, think of it like a piece of real estate, right? He came into the Hurricanes and we were a worn out, you know, burnt out house, and he had to rip it down to the studs, pull out all the drywall, all the flooring. And, you know, I thought that was last year, but it's this year. And that's, you know, I think we were wrong. We thought like he came in, he changed all the coaches. You know, there was a lot of turnover. He brought some of his guys in, stuff like that. But that wasn't ripping it down to the studs. That's this offseason.
No.
We have 17 kids in the portal right now. We're bringing in a ton of recruits. Like, who knows what the coaching staff is going to look like by, you know, March. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited, though. Like, I mean, we're getting our money's worth right now, and that's good.
Yeah, I've never – and I'm trying to think of it. I was like – I can't remember the last time it was like this, because, like, I was telling Joe, like, I tell people, like, dude, we're talking to people. We're in the room with players that other coaches didn't even go in the building with, didn't visit them. They weren't takes, and now are All-Americans in Cam Kitchens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there was such a disconnect that, like, Mario has to fix all of that. Like, I don't think we truly understood what, because that's what Mario's great at, right? Like, those relationships and world building in a way, and like, and building that culture that he wants. Might have his Saturday struggles. Hopefully he brings, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe bring in another head coach to kind of help him with that. And he recognize, I think Mario also recognizes his weaknesses.
Yeah.
That's why he recruits so hard. You know what I mean? Like, look, my Saturday struggles might be a little bit less if I have four levels of five stars and four stars. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to coach as hard when everybody's great. You know what I'm saying? So, if that's what, I'm looking at to be in the conversation with, like, a Samson Okunlo, you know what I mean, a Francis Maigoa, when, like, I didn't know these weren't guys that any administration before got or even talked to.
Yep. You know, I mean, to get a five-star tackle from IMG, like, when was the last time that happened? When was the last time we got a five-star from IMG? Like, you know, that doesn't happen very often.
Not
for the Canes.
When was the last time we got multiple five stars? When was the last time we got multiple five stars?
Yeah.
Let's caveat multiple five stars that stay five stars and don't get dropped to a four star all of a sudden because a new composite ranking comes out and the guy that was a five star his whole time is now a four. All right, no conspiracy theories here. But we got 2 days because Samson commits or doesn't commit, you know what I'm saying, drops his announcement on Friday, right, on the 16th.
Yeah,
but I also saw something that it was tomorrow.
Like, I don't know. I thought it was Thursday or Friday, but I'm not sure.
Because I saw something from Thayer Athletics, which is this school, is another academy, said that they got a big announcement tomorrow at 4:30. So I was like, is that the Samson thing? Like, look, I'm not a person that lives or die with any specific commitment. You know what I mean? Like, because you never know who's going to pan out, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
But, like, just to be in the conversation with the level of, like, to be in the conversation just with an Alabama, right?
Yeah.
And get guys like that, like a Jahlil Skinner last year. Like, we forget that we had, what, the 45th ranked class last year before Mario came in and picked up, like, six or seven recruits and turned us into a top 15 class. Like, this is what he does. So just kind of hope for it, man. And one thing you said, we thought it was last year because of all the portal guys coming and all that. I think he's doing it different this year That's why he hasn't taken, like, we hear all these portal guys coming and visiting and all this stuff. I think he's being more mindful in getting recruits and then the portal guys secondary to fill the holes after. I thought he went too hard on portal guys last year, which left us with too many portal guys and possibly not enough scholarships for the young guys. So that's why you haven't seen like a Seven McGee didn't commit to us, or the only one is an obvious take is Javion Cohen, right? That's without question. Duh. But yeah, man, I think he's doing it different this year. So what do you think?
Yeah. And I think it's the right approach. You know, speaking of Mario learning from his mistakes, one of my worries with him is that he seems to enjoy meddling on offense when it comes to scheme. And this is a point that I've, you know, brought up a few times is like, if you remember early 2010s, you know, 2007 to like 2013, Nick Saban used to run that single back offense, you know, back in the AJ McCarron days, just handing the ball off to five-star running backs behind. Yeah. And
very easy.
Yeah. And, but you know, when Lane Kiffin came around, Lane got him to use the spread to modernize his offense. And now Alabama, if anything, is they're an offensive powerhouse. Like, you know, they'll put up points. They're not going to beat you 14-6 anymore. They're going to beat you 48-, you know, whatever. So,
yeah.
I hope that Mario will be smart enough to like be open to modernization when it comes to offense. I worry that we're going to be stuck running the same playbook as Iowa for his whole tenure here.
Please don't say stuff like that out loud.
I'm genuinely worried about it. And you know, I think Mario needs his version of Lane Kiffin. He needs a guy to come in here and be like, okay, but you know, we could score 40 points. Like, cool, we have a good defense, but why score 14 when we can score 40?
Yeah.
You know, like,
I'm with you on that. I think Mario, because, you know, the offensive line mindset, like he just wants to, you know, offensive line, push the run. You want to bully the other team. I don't think that's realistic here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that's realistic, not just here, but like, That offense doesn't – we have to run – I don't know. Like, look at Ohio State, right, for example. They run a more balanced offense. You know what I'm saying? Most teams run 50-50. Michigan, they do a 50-50. But you make it look better. Like, with the offense, I don't – like, we and Joe go back and forth on this all the time. Like, I don't know how to really evaluate it. Like, were we really that poorly coached or that bad talent-wise? Or where we really saw the talent, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was like the chicken or the egg. I don't know how to evaluate Josh Gattis, right? So I don't know. I'm always on the fence, or I'm one side or the other as to what should happen with Josh Gattis, because I think that's the kind of game that Mario wants to run.
Yeah.
But it's also the kind of offense that made him beat Ohio State the year before, you know what I'm saying? That year after they got drugged by Utah. Yeah. So I don't know how the execution works with that. I think the issue with the offense this past year was there was no connection between the coaches and the players, right? Like, I think the coaches came in with like tough love 100% of the time. Like, you hear all the reports of like the bad mouthing, you know what I'm saying? Like, saying they're sorry and all this stuff, and they never responded to it. And the coaches just kept pushing that. So I thought that's why so many performances were so bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to evaluate it. And I hope you're wrong that he pushes that kind of offense. That style can work if it's executed properly. I just don't know if the guy who's trying to execute it is the guy that we need to execute it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that style can work. A version of that can be a little bit better. And just hope that Mario learns to be more of a program builder and not a micromanager on Saturdays. But it could be, you know what I mean? It's got to be that big, that give and take.
Yeah, well, so one of the ideas that I've been toying with all year, you know, just from like a philosophical approach, I'm not quite sure how I feel about everything, but I've kind of been juxtaposing the idea of like X's and O's coaches versus culture coaches, right? The difference between Lincoln Riley and Mario, right? Mario's a guy that He wants to come in and he wants to establish an identity, a culture as a team. And it's like, if you don't, you know, if you don't live by these principles, if you don't live with this level of discipline, then here's the door. And that's how we're going to win football teams, is cohesiveness, willpower, mm-hmm. effort, you know, drive, discipline, that type of stuff. Whereas yeah. Lincoln Riley, Lane Kiffin, all these guys, it's kind of the new wave, the Josh Heupel, like these guys are, we're going to beat you in chess every week. And it doesn't matter the players yeah. we have, you know, like doesn't matter if, you know, if we're missing our king or queen or rooks, our knights, our mm-hmm. pawns, whatever. Doesn't matter what pieces we have, I'm going to beat you in chess every single week with my play calling, with my scheme. I'm going to attack your weaknesses. And I think that type of philosophy is a more immediate impact. Whereas Mario's, I think it has staying power. I mean, if you look, that's kind of the Alabama model, the Georgia yep. model. So, I mean, mm-hmm. clearly it wins. But how many teams are having success that way versus how, like, if you just look at the top 20, how many teams are that style versus how many teams are the X's and O's style?
Okay. And I see, this I is think, why. Good, good.
Well, I'm just saying, I think more people are having success with the X's and O's, in my opinion. Now, granted, I think the ultimate success in winning championships is coming with the discipline and the stacking culture. Talent. Yeah, yeah, the culture. And so
yeah.
that's kind of why I don't know what to think about it. It's like you see more teams have success one way, but then you see the teams that win do it a different way.
Jordan, listen, man, this is why I love doing podcasts with just like an outline of what to say. You know what I mean? Like the topics and just kind of freestyle, because you brought up a great question, man. I love that question. I think we have to – the Lincoln Riley's is amazing. Look what he did at USC this year, right? Like yeah. one play away, like, well, besides the second half, got destroyed by Utah, because that's just what Kyle Whittingham does, right? Like yeah. the fact that Kyle Whittingham is still there just because he's like an older coach is crazy. Yeah. I mean, the guy's a back-to-back Pac-12 champion. But
yeah, culture
culture guy. But all it's not just a culture guy, it's the guys he gets look a certain way, right? Like that's the Alabama and the Georgia thing. Like look at Alabama, you said it, like from 2007 to 2013. AJ McCarron couldn't the only thing I remember about AJ McCarron, they would always show his beautiful girlfriend and future wife yeah. in the stands, because that's all CBS yeah. camera guys would show. Yeah. Hey guys, this is his wife, and then Brent Musburger and those guys would make comments. Like, I was like, all right, bro, yeah. we get it. That's all I remember yeah. about AJ McCarron.
That's 80% of his game film from college. That's all he did well.
That's it, dude. That was the whole thing. It was the craziest thing. I was like, all right, man, can we get back to the play? We get it. yeah. But the X's and O's looks good, and it puts up a lot of points, right? Mm-hmm. But the top two teams are Georgia and Alabama with the culture.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you see... I don't know how to put the other two. Like TCU is an X and O's team, right? Like we're yeah. you know what, we're gonna get to see it in this college football playoff, because Michigan, I put Michigan in that culture with Jim Harbaugh, right?
Yeah.
So Michigan and TCU is gonna be culture versus X's and O's. We get to see it right then and there. Yeah. I think Georgia, Ohio State is culture versus X's and O's.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean. Like Ohio State's that weird team in there though, like. Where they're like slightly culture and X's and O's, but they also have a shit ton of five stars. So like it's you know what I mean, it could go either way.
Yeah,
I think he's trying to build, and I don't know if he's going to be able to. Like, I'm not sitting here and be like, oh, he's Nick Saban or he's Kirby Smart. Like, that's not what I'm doing. But like, I think he's trying to build that model.
Yeah,
because then it's just then it's your second and your third string that are sophomores and freshmen. Offensive lineman, defensive tackle are going to look exactly the same. There will never be that level of drop off, which is why we always saw James Williams starting, or because there was nobody to push for that spot. Why we always saw this person starting or that person starting, you know what I mean? Because there's no depth. Like you saw the drop off.
Yeah,
you saw the difference in quality of player from a Wesley Bissaint, that's a freshman, to a Corey Flagg. Wesley Bissaint, true freshman. Looked way better and way faster and way more skilled. No disrespect to that Corey Flagg ever has.
Yeah.
Like on his best day.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like it's, and that's just size. And that's what Mario's getting, seven of those guys coming in. You know what I'm saying? So like it's a culture and it's a look that Mario wants. And I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong, because I would have loved to have been USC this year.
Yeah.
Putting up 60, you know what I'm saying? Putting up 60, putting up 65 points and balling out. Like, oh, where the hell was this? Would have been amazing. Yeah. Yep. But I don't know what's the staying power. You know what I'm saying? Like Lincoln Riley didn't win a lot. If I'm wrong, he didn't win a national championship at Oklahoma.
Right? Correct. Like I don't think he ever won a playoff game either. I think they lost every playoff game.
No, they got blown out. Like every time they went, they got completely blown out. So
yeah,
it goes back and forth, right? Like it looks great, but the staying power is that kind of thing. The culture, like winning championships. Looking good and winning championships are two different things.
Yeah, I agree. And a theme from the culture programs, and so, you know, I think we should pay attention with Miami, because if we get good, this is how it's going to happen, is if you watch Clemson, like the rise of Clemson over the last decade, I mean, think of it, for like there was probably a six-year span where they were a verb, and it wasn't a good one, where Clemsoning, right? It's where you went 10-0 and then you know, you lost to NC State in overtime and shot yourself in the foot, you know? And but the thing was, they won 10 games a year for like 6 years straight before they won anything important, right? Now I'm talking about like the Taj Boyd teams and the, you know,
Taj Boyd, yeah.
Yeah, and then the kid that ended up transferring to Missouri after Trevor Lawrence stole his job. I can't think of his name.
Bryce, wasn't it like Blake Bryce or something like that? I don't know.
Yeah,
I know who you're talking about, but they had like a pick. He played like the second half of a Trevor Lawrence injured game, and then just never played there again. Like he just walked off into the sunset and been in like four schools since.
Yeah, but you know, so they it's kind of levels. You know, like you need to get to a spot where it's like, oh, now we're winning the ACC every year, but we've been losing to good teams in the Orange Bowl, you know, and then we get to the thing, okay, now we just beat a good team in the Orange Bowl. And then 2 years later, it's like, oh, now we're making the playoff, but we're getting our teeth kicked in the first round. And then, you know, elevating ourselves to like, okay, now we just won a championship, but it's 6 or 7 years down the road from now.
Right.
It's levels, man. I mean, that happened with Georgia. Like, look at Jake Fromm, had a great career at Georgia. But they had a ceiling, dude.
Matthew Stafford.
Yeah.
I mean, Georgia won, Mark Richt won every year 10 games.
Yeah.
But they just never beat the teams that they needed to beat to be in that serious conversation. Yeah, man, like the positive side of me wants to be like, I'm not saying in 3 years, right? But like start being in that conversation. I don't know what the staff turnover is going to be like, because it's not just firing coaches. Coaches leave. They get better job offers. I mean, better money. We saw it last year with T-Rob. T-Rob was going to be part of the staff. Alabama offered him more money. That's how we got Jim Ladai. So I don't know what the future holds with that, right? Like as far as where we're going to be. But this team and this mentality, they have to learn how to win, right? Like they have to learn how to, like, respond to adversity. Like that's what I'm looking, as far as like projecting into next season. Like I think these, like, look, we're gonna be a very young team next year. Yeah. Like a very, very young team. And that's gonna come with some lessons and hopefully some responses. But I love what I'm hearing from the kids. Like I was listening to Ray Joseph, because he was at an award show yesterday when Ruben Bain committed, and they're like, look, we're coming in there to take jobs. Yeah. Like we're not, you know what I'm saying? Like we're coming in there, we're coming in to knock heads off. Like we're not coming in here to mess around. So just hearing that, like, so openly, right? Like I don't know if it's the new media or any of that, but like they're calling out the entire team. Like, yo, man, I'm coming for your spot. Like, what are you gonna do about it? You know, it starts the culture, and there's gonna be some infighting, there's gonna be some beef because older guys don't want to hear that and all that stuff. But it was like, hey bro, the portal's right there, bro. The portal is going to be open after spring, and you can bounce. Like, this is a business now.
Yep. And I think Mario's response to, and I want to treat it with the level of sensitivity because of the human factor. But when you had parents,
of course,
starting to get involved, and you know Mario's response was like, "Come pick up your kids," you know, like, I think that's a warning shot to the roster. You know, it's like you have these new freshmen coming in that want your job, and he's saying like, if you complain about it, you know, or if you're not willing to compete for your job, then here's the door. And also you're going to be publicly ridiculed because everyone knows why you're leaving now. So, you know?
Well, that response, I think that response was warranted because you can't just be the coach as a pushover, right? Like somebody is so publicly calling you out and calling your staff out. Like I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? Like when this, for example, like when this pod grows and we have multiple guests and it becomes like a whole brand and all that stuff, right? Projecting positive stuff and manifesting that. It was like, I don't want anybody coming after my people. You know what I mean? Like, hey man, you can't be out here tweeting that you got a big stick. You tweet violence to my guys? Like, come get your kid then. Like, it's come get your kid season. And it's not, and I said it and I always say this. The transfer portal is 100% a business deal on both sides. Yeah. I hope every kid that left Miami lands somewhere and continues their education because the chances of going to the league are slim to none, period, to even begin with. So I hope they're able to continue their education with the free scholarship because I think that's a big issue with me in the NCAA is like that was a negotiation and a contract between me and this university and me and this program of the NCAA. That should be, like, if they don't want to continue, that should be, appreciated and evaluated such, like, maybe you could just stay and finish out, at least get an AA, and then move on and transfer, right? Like, it should be going on that way. It is, it's a business, man. Like, you're seeing the guys that are leaving to now, like, John Campbell leaving, he was told. Now, look, this is a question I want to pose to you before we move on to the next topic. You think John Campbell is told to leave because a certain pancake is about to make a certain pancake tackle was about to make the commit. Like I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. Cause it's like, yo, like that would be crazy. But if you're starting left tackle for 12 games, it's told, hey man, thank you for your service. I mean, like wish you the best in your future endeavors.
Yeah. So
like,
is that definite? Like I didn't know that he was asked to leave. Like, is that for sure? Because I haven't been paying attention as well as I should have, but
that's what the tea leaves are saying, right? Like,
okay, yeah,
and like people, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what people are saying. Like, I don't know if he was like, I don't think any player is told directly, hey, there's the door,
yeah,
but it's like, look, there's not going to be, you know what I'm saying? We're moving in a different direction, you know, like everybody that listens to a podcast at some point has been fired, right? Hey, look, it's not. You know what I mean? Broken up with, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We're just headed in a different direction. We're seeing things differently.
Yeah.
And it's no shot at him. Like John Campbell, tried his best, but John Campbell doesn't have the look that a Mario offensive line would want. Right. Yeah. Like it took him 6 years to get to this size. There's freshmen coming in that are already bigger than him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm not.
I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And it is, I mean, it's risky, but, you know, thankfully for Mario, and I think in the end we'll appreciate it, but Mario got the type of contract that he could do it the right way.
Do this.
You know, getting an 8-year deal, 7-year deal, 8-year deal?
I thought it was 10 years.
Oh,
10 years, 80 million.
That's right. Yeah. 10 years, 80 million is eight per year.
He's not going anywhere. Yeah.
No, he's not. I mean, he's not getting fired until year 6 at the earliest. But think of what that allows him to do. That allows him to go to the left tackle. And I want to use all hypotheticals here because I don't know any.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know anything. Yeah, absolutely not.
And so I'm not saying specific players at all because I have no idea. But it allows him to go to an important piece, an important position, quarterback, left tackle, you know, any of these positions and just be like, look, you're not a fit with us. You know, that's a huge risk. But by us giving Mario the 10-year deal, it allows him to do that, you know, because even if we get Cohen and Malagoa and Samson, I think is how you say his name. Yeah. Even if we get all those guys, our offensive line can still struggle a little bit next year because Malagoa and Samson have never played a snap of college football in their lives. And so they might be good immediately. They might not. Like, that's just the way it works. You don't know. So Mario having the ability to take risks and really shape the culture of the team hopefully will be a good benefit to us.
Yeah, and, And look, I'm not calling out – I'm only saying the name because it's the most recent transfer. Sure. Like I said, like, I want all these kids to land somewhere.
Yeah.
But from everything I've heard and from people that I know, Mario doesn't just kick these kids out. You know what I mean? Like he talks to them like that, and he finds somewhere for them to land. Because he just like he's not a cold person. Like from everything, like he's going to make sure these kids are all right. Just because it doesn't work here doesn't mean he doesn't want you to succeed somewhere else. Sure. You see the relationship he has with former players and all that. So it's tough and it's a business, right? Like it's not. I was surprised when the portal entry of today happened. Like I was like, oh, what? Like on Sunday. I was like, oh, it'd be good to have him. You know what I mean? Maybe move him to left to interior lineman, kind of help the young guys come up and like to see him going. I was like, oh, wow, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So it's a different world.
I don't have any inside info. I don't claim to have any inside info. Never been an insider. But man, it seems like all signs point to us getting Samson. Like I am no longer anxious about it. And even like Gator's Twitter and Gator's message boards, they've given up on him. You know, like they all know he's coming.
That's
to Miami.
That's when I calmed down. Like when like because they were real talkative. It didn't last long. Like Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Yeah,
ish until like. That's my tea leaves. Like I see what other people share. Like they're like already bashing him or like, oh, he wasn't a take anyway. So I was like, wait a second. Like this is you guys saying this. So like when I hear from their fan bases, that's what I take as like, okay, this is, they have something, they know something that I don't know. So I take this as a positive. If he doesn't come, it'll be more shocking now.
Yeah.
If you know what I'm saying? Like, but also like Alabama's in his top four. Like Nick Saban doesn't just go like, oh, I guess we're not getting this five star. It's not what Nicky Saban does, man. He's like, I want all of them.
You know, Gabby's fantastic at his job. And he he gave the crystal ball to Samson to Miami last night, I believe. Mm-hmm. And kind of his rhetoric throughout today has just been like, I feel really good about it. So that along with the Gators, you know, feeling like they're out. I feel good about it, man. I feel pretty good.
Yeah, because look, us as Canes fan and Canes Twitter, let's be 100% honest. We are thinking we're gonna get everybody. How dare they not come? You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure most fan bases feel like that. How dare they not come to us? We got Mario's loafers and John Ruiz's NIL. We're getting you know what I'm saying? We're getting everybody. But realistic, like, there's other people that recruit. Like Brian Hartline just came in and picked up another 5-star wide receiver.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying, from Miami. Like that's just from the same school. Like that's just, this is a battle, man. This is insane, dude. Like, so before we wrap up that last topic here, I'm gonna call it living rent free, right?
Okay.
Now we talked about it. We are a 5-7 football team. That's our record. We have to wear that like a badge of, let's call it disgrace or embarrassment, right? Like we're not happy about it. The reaction from fan bases. Right, like it's insane. Like, I'm not a person that goes back and forth. I'm doing it today just because I was bored. But I don't care what other fan. I've never cared what other fan bases do. I've only ever cared about the U. That's it. Like that my I don't watch other college football games. I might, you know what I mean? Like, I might watch a couple highlights, but I don't go out of my way to do that. That's just, I watch my team and my team only. Have you being a Utah guy, because Miami, we always feel like everybody's against us, right? Like, growing up in Miami and being in the city, do you notice that as well, or is that just like the Miami biased eyes of like people going out of the way, like, oh, it wasn't a take anyway. Oh, he was supposed to go there anyway because his family's there with Ruben Bain. I was like, dude, I can't name a player on your recruiting list. Like, not one. I don't care.
So that's a complex answer. I think for the University of Miami, it is present. But, you know, like extending past that, because I agree. I see that, you know, I talk to a lot of Heat fans. I'm a huge NBA fan, Utah Jazz fan.
Right.
And because of the makeup of my Twitter timeline, I, you know, mostly talk hoops with Heat fans these days on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And Heat fans kind of have the same persecution complex where it's like, you know, like the refs hate the Heat. You know, everyone hates the Heat. Everyone's trying to screw the Heat.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what? You know, like LeBron James came to play for you guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That died then. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everyone wants, like, Miami is the one non-traditional powerhouse that can always attract big talent. And it's because the weather's great. You know, I know it can get really hot in Miami in the summer, and you know, the weather isn't necessarily great for the summer, but like it is paradise, right? And when you're making tens of millions of dollars as a pro athlete, I think, you know, if I had $10 million, Miami would be the first place that I'd buy my second home. I can tell you that. Like I might not choose to have my primary residence there, but if I'm buying a second mansion, it's going to be in South Florida. Because it is paradise, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, I don't know. But people do, like, I think the rivals or the 247 thing where people drop rankings after kids commit to Miami, that's 100% true. I do think that there is some type of national bias of, you know, and you could get into all levels of how politically and sociopolitically charged it is, but like, kind of the association of Miami with being convicts, that's 100% real. You know, like, so
that perception of Miami.
Yeah. The perception of Miami is that it's, you know, I guess I'll just let the Catholics versus convicts thing sum it up. Like, people do think that, you know, and it's unfortunate because, you know, I think we went through that with the 2017 or 2018 team. I think it was the 2017 team when we played Notre Dame. 2017
team.
And it's like there was a lot of really good kids on the roster that were being called convicts. And they seemed hurt by it, and for good reason, you know. They're like, I'm a good kid. Like, I'm an upstanding member of society. College athlete. Like,
private school. It's making grades at a private school, and I'm gonna have a degree from really good university. Like, how am I a convict? In what way? Like, do you know the requirements? I have to do some editing after that. Now, look, it is the Miami bias, right? Like, first of all, let's starting with the Miami Heat thing. That's ridiculous. Those are irrational fans. Like, and I'm a Heat fan. Like, we got championships, bro. Like, let's calm down there. You know what I mean? Like. Yes, there'll be games when you're reffed a little differently. That's just a home and road NBA game. That's all that is. There's no Jimmy Butler missing that three wasn't because the ref hates us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not real life.
Well,
but with the Miami thing, 2017, you saw it, right? Like, you saw the commentary and the reaction to a Notre Dame game. It, like, that sentiment still, 40 years later, still resonated, the Catholic versus convict thing. That's why you had Braxton Berrios doing the celebration with acting like he was getting handcuffed. Like, that's never made sense to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy. What were you going to say, Jay?
Well, you know, I was just going to touch on your NBA point is there's only like six teams in the NBA where superstars want to play there. And you guys, like Miami Heat, are like one of those six teams. So it does make me laugh, you know, as a Jazz fan. Yeah. Where we have role players who say, no, I don't want to play there. I don't care if they're going to give me $10 million, which they're wrong because Utah's a great place to live. But
it's fantastic. Yeah,
you know, to each
pictures
their
are
own,
amazing.
Right? To each their own, right? It's definitely more of a family environment here. But I'm not a nightclub guy. I highly doubt that nightclubs are any good here.
yeah, if you're a young athletic millionaire, you that's probably why, right? Like it's like the nightlife. It was like I'm a single guy. I have a bunch of millions of dollars. I don't know if this is like it's just that simple. It's not like, oh, we don't like Utah. It's like I want to be where the women are. If you're a millionaire, you know what I'm saying? Like that's basically that whole perspective with it.
Yeah. I mean, Mike Conley loves it here, but the first thing he talks about is like, my kids love their school. You know, he's like,
exactly.
He's like, I'm keeping my kids in school here in Utah, even if I get traded, you know?
Exactly. So. That's a sound way of looking at it. It was like, wait, my kids are happy. So yeah, if you have a family, it makes all the sense in the world.
Yeah.
If you're single, you know what I mean? I'm sure there's a bunch of places like that. Yeah. Wait a minute. That whole thing, that 24/7 ranking stuff is crazy to me though, man. Like, like the commentary of like other fan bases, rivalry and smoke talk or whatever. Yeah. But that stuff is so weird. It's like Jaden Wayne literally went from like a 5-star committed 4-star.
Yeah.
Right. Kormani McClain, right? 5-star was 9. The number 2 player all year. Now he's 9th, bro. Somehow Arch Manning that went 8-for-21 with 96 yards. In his final high school game, is still the number one player in the nation. I'm not saying Cormani should be number one, right? Like that, but there's better quarterbacks out there that are, you know what I'm saying? There's better players out there that should be at that number one spot. You can't go 8-for-21 with 96 yards and lose by 36 points and still be considered the number one player in the nation.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of it is just that, you know, people have kind of seen what Miami can be. I mean, we're the recruiting hotbed of the country. You know, I mean, I'm saying we like I'm from there. I'm just
Hey, you're a fan. Like
this,
Hey, you internalize it, man. It's part of it. Yeah, it is we.
You know, South Florida is the recruiting bed. Like that's, you know, that's an NFL factory. It is the NFL factory, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just the everything that goes into what made Miami so great in the 80s and 90s, I think is always on other people's minds. It's a sleeping giant. And I think to some extent, Miami being great again feels like an inevitability to everybody.
Yeah.
And whether it's right or wrong, sometimes I have my doubts. Like, all the talent that gets put out, you know, the money, the prestige, the hype, everything that swirls around, the rhetoric that swirls around the Miami Hurricanes makes it seem like a dynasty, another dynasty is inevitable. And I think that really, really scares people.
Yeah.
And in the sense of whenever we do something good, we're rent-free up here. You know,
like
what the segment is talking about, you know, it's we get 3 5-stars and then people, you know, it's like they're on the defensive, you know, they're looking for a counterpunch because they know that like this could turn into something very bad for their favorite team very quickly. Yeah,
man, I think that's a perfect way to end this, man. I think you summed it up perfectly because I always want to say, like, I have Miami glasses on all the time with this team. This is my number one team across all sports. I mean, I'm really into European soccer and stuff like that, but this is my number one team across all sports. This is the team I live and die on. So when you you're not an outsider, but like that doesn't live locally and has that perspective. It does feel like that. There's always been that, like, why. For the last 20 years, like, why aren't we better? How are we this bad? How are we failing? Look at who's here. Yeah. Right? Like, and it's always felt like we're right on the cusp, but like it just never, like the stars, be it 5 or 4, line up enough to get this right. So just look, Saturday or Friday or Thursday or Friday, whenever Samson announces it, and if he puts on the U hat or whatever, however he approaches it. If it's just a graphic with a ton of pancakes in the shape of a U, which would be honestly genius, right? If you do it like that, that would be genius. Just a whole bunch of U pancakes. It would be amazing to see. But to be a top 5, 6, possibly three class if Samson commits after this season gives us hope for the future. But Ted Lasso says it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah.
So we just have to weigh the options, man, and hope for the best. Jordan, I thank you so much. Once again, man, let the people know where they can find you and how to support About the Fans. Let them know.
Yeah. So please check out aboutthefans.com, or you can find us on Twitter at aboutthefans_. You know, we have all kinds of good stickers, t-shirts. You know, I'm wearing all kinds of swag right now from About the Fans. So, you know, Canes fans will love it. You know, all of our stuff is kind of geared towards Canes fans. We're starting to do some stuff that Dolphins fans will enjoy as well. And you know, there's a few Heat things on there as well. So yeah, just check it out. You know, AB, he's one of my best friends. He's my partner in this, and he does all the design work, and man, what an artist. So just check out our website, and thank you for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Hey man, whenever you want to come on, man, door is always open. All right, guys, that's enough of us. We're out of here. Peace.